Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
We got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Watching us right now on the webcam, you would see that I am indeed shaking my moneymaker. Sadly, my moneymaker is my mouth. Rest of the body, nobody would give me a dime for that. It's the final hour of our broadcast week, and we have an absolutely incredible story to tell you about as we begin this hour's Big League.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Well, we have a brand new development in the homelessness issue that has been plaguing our region. I want to thank our friend Gary Harker over at Cairo 7 News. He's going to have more on this story at 7 o'clock this evening, Cairo 7. But Gary tipped us off to this. You got to see the visuals in Gary's story. A mom who is in the middle of all of this is Erica Nagy, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Erica, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Absolutely, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm a Ballard native, and this situation's going on in Ballard, is that right?
I'm a Ballard native myself, and yes, it is. Whitman Middle School is right in the north end of Ballard, Seattle.
I know it well. Okay, so for people who have not seen any of the visuals, describe what's going on at Whitman Middle School right now.
Well, it's an ongoing issue. This isn't new. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's been ongoing throughout the last couple of years that I've noticed. It's gotten progressively worse. But as of Tuesday, there was an actual tent that one of the neighbors noticed in the behind the school, inside an actual doorway of the school. So literally on school property. In the past, sometimes there have been issues on the surrounding property, including Soundview, which is, you know, obviously not school property. So their hands are a little bit tied there.
Right.
But there were multiple, bike parts and debris and drug paraphernalia. Clear to the eye and has been there since Tuesday with a bunch of people calling in, Find It, Fix It apps, calls to the police, emails to the school, and no resolution as of today.
But the tent, and I have seen the pictures of this, the tent is literally at the top of some steps right in the doorway of the school.
Correct. If there was a fire in the building, if school was happening today, the kids would not be able to get out of that doorway due to this tent.
This is unbelievable. So tell me your reaction. Tell me your reaction as you try to get somebody, whether it be city officials or SPD, to, I mean, this cannot be tolerated.
Well, common sense has absolutely flown out the window. So in many ways, I have compassion for the Seattle Police Department. In many ways, their hands have been tied with our current administration.
Yes.
I attended a meeting on Wednesday night with Seattle City Council member Mike O'Brien, who just continues to beat on the drum that we need to tax, spend more money on this issue, and that's going to solve the problem. The issue I have with that is we are throwing hundreds of millions, almost $1 billion at this problem, and it's only gotten worse. There's absolutely no accountability with any of our representatives. Nobody is representing the Ballard District. Mike O'Brien is absolutely not representing any Ballard residents whatsoever. And quite frankly, the addicts let's call it what it is. There's a distinction between, there's many different types of homelessness that are going on, and we're blanketing it a little too broadly, in my opinion. There are going to be people that absolutely will be great when we offer them help, and they need the help, and when we extend
yes.
the hand and we extend the services, they will absolutely do so. There is a subset of this population that will absolutely be service resistant, and the data shows that. Yet Mike O'Brien specifically even said it Wednesday that we still just need to keep trying and keep throwing money at people. They're absolutely refusing any and all services whatsoever that we offer them, refusing to comply with the law, refusing to comply with anything whatsoever. And his solution is, let's spend more money trying to get them to do so.
Well, Mike O'Brien's a loon. Let's start with that. And,
correct.
And we spend more money per homeless person than any city in the United States of America. Most major cities have seen a decline in homelessness. Yep. Here in Seattle, where correct. We spend more than $16,000 per year per homeless person, we have a dramatic increase. And so now their solution is, so let's spend double that. Let's spend another $100 million a year. Let's tax Amazon and all of the other businesses and give us more money. And this is not about helping the homeless, because what you just said, Erica, is absolutely 100% accurate. The city did a sweep of one of the most notorious homeless encampments, offered services to everybody. 90% of them said, no, we don't want any help, because sadly, heroin and living on the street is their lifestyle of choice. And there's no amount of money that's going to change that.
Well, you're correct. And you know, the latest issue that we have within Ballard is that Mike O'Brien is, you know, forcing the Whittier Heights women's tiny home village on 83rd and 15th Northwest with absolutely no community input whatsoever. He also very openly admitted that he never took a look at the Licton Springs encampment data to see what kind of impact it had on the surrounding community and school, by the way, within that vicinity, which, you know, if you look at some of the data, I mean, he's obviously got his own data, which is, you know, questionable. But if you look at SPD data, at least the last time that I looked at the data, it shows like 600% increases in crime, you know, across the board around that area. And he admitted on Wednesday night that he never even looked at that data when deciding to open up this women's shelter. The kicker to that, too, is that there will be, he said, they have to follow the laws, but there will be open drug use. I mean, how contradictory is that, right? There's open drug use, there's women that will be pregnant, and there will be absolutely no rules or laws to follow them. And the last Licton Springs, or some of these shelters have like a 3% success rate of getting people into housing.
Right.
You know, for Lehigh and Cher and for, you know, the folks that are running those businesses, this is a cash cow. There's no incentive for them to make it better because the money goes away. So in many ways, this is, you know, it's a complete scam on the taxpaying citizens, and people should be outraged.
I've covered both of those stories on my show this week. Licton Springs, you are correct, a dramatic increase in car prowls and home burglaries around that area. There are prostitutes everywhere. And the Whittier Heights, which is an area I know very well from my childhood. I went to Whittier Elementary for a couple of years. And at Whittier Heights, and let me ask you a question. You said you're a mom, right? You have kids.
Yep, sure am.
Okay,
yep.
I'm the father of three daughters. If they ever fell into addiction problems, there's no way my wife and I would say, hey, come on home, honey, live in the basement and shoot up all the heroin you want. We would try to get them help. We would try to let them reclaim their lives. And yet the city of Seattle, with this Whittier Heights encampment, they're doing exactly as you described. We'll give you, the taxpayers will build you a tiny home, and you can come and drink yourself to death. You can continue to inject heroin into your veins, and we will just provide you a place to do all of that. And that's not compassion. You know, you and I as parents know what compassion would be, because you and I know how we would deal with our children or any kids we love. The city of Seattle just wants to exploit this for the purposes of extracting more tax dollars.
Well, and Dory, you know, the issue also is that there's three schools within close proximity, you know, let alone the neighbors that are literally backing up to this that had absolutely no say or input in this whatsoever, which is absolutely infuriating. But there's three schools. There's Whitman Middle School, which clearly, as this story is showing, has issues in and of itself. There's Ballard High School, and then there's Whittier Elementary. Now, if you talk about the actual encampment itself, there are going to be pregnant women in this encampment.
Sure.
Who are we protecting, if not our children, the unborn ones that are now have mothers that are openly allowed to use with no path to treatment whatsoever, zero. There is no conversation we've had with anybody running any of these programs say, okay, well, within 6 months, they have to, you know, accept or be willing to be on a path to treatment. None of that whatsoever.
No.
Zero.
Well,
zero ties to any path to getting them out of these situations whatsoever.
And you're absolutely right again, Erica, that a lot of these women, sadly, have chosen prostitution even while pregnant, as their means of getting money so that they can continue to buy their drug of choice. And what that's doing to that unborn child is sickening, and we do have documented records of that here in Seattle. So let me put a bow on this and get back in case anybody's tuned in just the last few minutes. So you're telling me there is a tent with a homeless person in the doorway of Whitman Middle School as we speak this afternoon?
Yeah, the person actually had left by the time the police officers showed up. Miraculously, security and the police showed up after I had emailed them, letting them know that Cairo was there to cover the story. But people have been reporting this issue since, I believe, Tuesday of this week, with absolutely no, end in sight. Now, the tent and all the debris and all the person's, belongings, whether they're actually their belongings, there's a lot of bike parts and things that look a little bit sketchy, if you will, laying around, are all still there. With, I'm sure, the intent of this person returning, because why not?
I tell you what's so ironic, and I made a point. I did this to make a point on Tuesday. My listeners built me a shack on the sidewalk outside of the radio station from which I broadcast illegally, and I was going to see if the cops were going to shut me down. I had two Seattle police cars in our parking lot at the end of my broadcast on Tuesday, 4 hours after we built the shack. And yet, you have a drug addict in a doorway of Whitman Middle School, and it takes them days to respond to that. I mean, this is mind-blowing.
And they absolutely walked away. Hey, there's one that's down by QFC that I reported 2 months ago that hasn't been on Holman Road behind Patty Degnan. Same thing. And the officers told me, we can't do anything about it. Our hands are tied. We have to turn this over to the navigation team. Well, that tent is growing. There looks like now there's multiple tents. The person has, set up clothing and drying racks on the fence on the sidewalk. With absolutely, again, no involvement whatsoever from any city official, and probably, 2,000 on the priority list.
Yeah. But
my question is, how is this getting any better? And why is the only solution Mike O'Brien and Swant can put forward is more money? And people are still buying into this.
The only people still buying into it are fools, because it's clear that O'Brien and Swant couldn't care less about human life. They love using the homelessness issue as a lever to try to pry money from all of their constituents' bank accounts, and that's all they are. They couldn't care less about these people, and these politicians are despicable, reprehensible people. And man, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you bringing this to our attention, Erica. That's unbelievable. That tent's been sitting in a middle school doorway for 3 days now.
Yep, no sign of Mike O'Brien.
Yeah, you and me both. All right, Erica and Nagy, thank you very much for coming on with me this afternoon, Erica.
Thank you. Take care.
Will do. And again, thank you to Gary Horker, our news partners at Cairo 7. You got to see his piece on this evening at 7 o'clock on Cairo 7 News. The visuals are unbelievable, but the beat goes on in this crazy region in which we live. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Yes, we are just getting breaking news. The family of eight from Woodland, Washington, that drove off the cliff in Northern California. We have just gotten word they have released the blood alcohol level on Jennifer Hart, one of the two moms in that family. She was behind the wheel of that SUV as they took it off a 150-foot cliff with their six adopted kids inside. Jennifer Hart was legally drunk when she went off the cliff. That doesn't mean that there still wasn't intent, but, man, talk about missing a million warning signs with this family and those six poor children and the horror they must have experienced, because it took several seconds for that car to go off the cliff until it crashed to the ground below. And it's just an horribly sad story. But we've just gotten the results of that toxicology report. And Jennifer Hart, one of the two moms in that family, was legally drunk when she drove that car off the cliff in Northern California. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Oh, I tell you what. You want to hear what a lot of my listeners said was maybe the best interview we've ever had on the show? I had an opportunity 2 hours ago to talk with Eddie Money, who was part of the soundtrack of my life, because I just sat and watched way too much MTV in the early days. You got to check out the whole, he was on with us for a half hour. Check out our noon hour podcast when we get it posted after the show. But I love talking with him about the early days of MTV.
Yeah.
You dominated the early days of MTV. You were one of those guys who just figured out this is a rocket boost to my career, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I had a manager called Bill Graham. He's actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a rock impresario.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought Led Zeppelin to the United States and Queen, and they had a big thing called the Carousel Ballroom in San Francisco. And he actually thought that this whole video thing was going to be big. So me and, like, Huey Lewis and a couple of artists, you know, got into it. And all of a sudden, I was the heartbeat of MTV, which was a lot of fun. I knew that Dina Blackwell and Martha Quinn and Adam, you know, Adam. There was a lot of great people. And it was a good time of my life. It was fun to get on. When MTV first came out, they didn't even have any commercials or nothing. It was strictly music 24 hours a day, you know. Now, when I look back at those old videos that I did, like Wanna Go Back or Was Shaking, I look like a singing shoe salesman, you know?
And we talked about one of his biggest hits.
Everybody liked the chorus, but what I really loved about the song was Be My Little Baby, because when I was a kid, Be My Little Baby was the biggest hit in the world. It's just like Dennis Wilson Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. That's also his favorite song. And that was one of my favorite songs. And I called Ronnie up. And she had quit the business. She wasn't in the business anymore. I called her up and she said, oh, you're Eddie Money. That song, Two Tickets Apart. I said, yeah. I said, what are you doing? She said, I don't sing anymore. It was a bunch of clinking and clanking. She was doing the dishes. She had a couple of kids and she got married to a lawyer. She was doing the dishes. And I talked her into coming out and being in the video and being on that song. And I got to tell you, she got the bug back. And then she started going back out on the road again. And what's not better than going to see Ronnie Spector sing and Be My Little Baby?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and just the way, so here was your version that included her, of course. What? The way she sings that, Eddie, that's one of the sexier lines in rock and roll, the way she sings that in your song there.
She's like me. She's a Brooklyn girl. I don't even remember. There's an older group called Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. They had a song called Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Why do fools fall in love? And she grew up in the same neighborhood as Frankie Lyman. And if you listen to Frankie Lyman sing and you listen to Ronnie Spector sing, she copied Frankie Lyman from Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. You know?
Okay. It was just a really, he was awesome guest. And at the beginning of the show, he told me, or at the interview, he told me that a bunch of his buddies who live in this area listen to my show. And then he said goodbye to some of his friends at the end. Eddie, you're part of the soundtrack of my life, and I loved having you on with me this afternoon.
At Dory Monson's show, I want to say hi to Bridget, to Marianne, the pizza face. He doesn't have the world's greatest complexion, but he plays a lot like Jimi Hendrix. And I tell you, Seattle, Tacoma, it's the greatest place in the world to live up there. The air is nice and clean. You got a lot of rain, and the people are the greatest. Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm serious. You got to check out that whole interview. So we'll have it up on our podcast, the half hour between 12:30 and 1. It's when we talk to Eddie, and that is The Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Friday afternoon, this is a spectacular week for Awesome Audio, and it is coming up next. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
What did you say? The temperature's only going to be in the 50s?
I know.
Ew,
except for
Ursula.
You. Except for you.
Ursula.
Oh, I know.
That leads into our awesome audio of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Because you see, number three is from, we played this earlier today. This is a weatherman in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he was sick and tired of the news anchors always blaming him for the long, cold winter and the lousy weather. And he finally just went off.
Number three.
I think it's going to be fine.
Good.
It'll be fine.
All right.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
Has been worse. Well, because you guys are dragging me down. You guys keep... Well, every time I get done with the 7 day, you guys are like, oh, gosh. Oh. Every time. Doesn't matter what time I come on. 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and then you expect me to be chipper for 5 straight hours. It's miserable. I want you guys to say, wow, that's great news. It's going to be 60 on Friday. Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? Lie to you? I'll put 70 every day next time.
Hi. Thank you for your commitment.
Man, thank you. Mr. Davis appreciates it. He knows when to bundle up.
Yep.
Here's some wind. Here's some temperature. 20s. Feels like 19 or feels like 70. I don't know. 47, partly cloudy. Southwest breeze 10 to 15. Here's a 60. I don't know if that's good enough for you guys. Get excited. Maybe I'll disappoint you with the 7 day here in a few minutes.
And then the traffic guy sticks his head on screen.
Is he done?
Is it safe?
That was terrifying. The internet would put it this way. That was terrifying.
Okay, number two in our awesome audio, Andre Ingram, 32 years old. He has gray hair, or salt and pepper hair. He'd been 10 years in basketball's minor league, the development league it's called, until he thought he was going for his exit interview with the Lakers D-League team. And then he got quite a surprise during what he thought was his season-ending exit interview.
Number two.
You know, just to start, I guess, wanted to see how the season was for you. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought overall, I'll start with the team. I thought we did excellent, man. I thought we started off extremely well.
Obviously, always, I know this was your sixth season with us, and you've been great on the court. You've been great off the court. You've really helped out our guys in the locker room, and I think you know that. So we're very grateful to have you. Thank you also for, I know we're supposed to meet tomorrow, but we had to move the exit meeting up to today because the LA Lakers want to call you up and sign you for the rest of the season.
I wonder why those two big guys are back here. Wow. Wow.
Congratulations.
Team President Magic Johnson's in the room now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, boss.
Well, you know, just come on tomorrow and get ready.
Yeah, that's all there is to it.
I want that 48%.
Yeah. I do too, trust me.
32 years old, 10 years in the minor leagues, and he got so emotional thanking the coaches.
I know all of you guys went to bat for me. I know you did. That's why I mean so much, you know? I love what I do, but when people go to bat for you really hard, it, you know, that means everything to me, all of you.
And then the next day, age 32, he plays in his first NBA game.
December with the Rockets. You saw it right after you saw it. On its way, down it goes! Welcome to the NBA, Andre Ingram.
Makes his first try. That is awesome.
And that was the first of many. He had 19 points in that debut.
It's not like I was... you know, angered and I should have been here the whole, no, I mean, it's been a joy, you know, these 10 years, it's been a joy, man. I remember it all. I remember, you know, starting with the, you know, Utah's D League team, the Flash back then, and, you know, playing with these guys when we were the defenders instead of, I remember it all. And they're fond memories. They're not like, you know, angry memories, man, I should be here. No, it's not any of that. It's just great that, you know, you just appreciate it for what you do. So yeah, it is. It's a handsome reward, man, for just for time put in and what have you. But you know, everybody works hard. You know, I'm thankful I had the opportunity, but there's a lot of people that work hard. I'm grateful, man. It's all it is. I'm just grateful.
Such a cool story. And at number one, the most controversial, awesome audio, because Ursula and Nicole didn't even think I should play it, but then once I did, it has become our listener's favorite for audio of the year so far. A Christian man protesting outside an abortion clinic. And this isn't about abortion. It's about the woman who came to confront him.
Number one.
Man, why are you so angry?
No help! Why wouldn't I be? You're a piece of f***ing go home. Pack up your f***ing. We don't need that f***ing here.
Ma'am.
We already have enough going on. I'm a f***ing woman of this world. You're women of this world. You have no place to say f***ing about nothing. Go the f***ing home. Go
you're
the f***ing
murder down the street, ma'am.
Whatever!
I need to speak up for them. Ma'am, please.
Go home! Go home! You have no right to do this. None whatsoever. Your freedom of speech, me damned. Go home!
Maybe the best audio of the year so far. Today's sign is next. Come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. And it has been quite a week. It saw us sitting in a sidewalk shack illegally broadcasting. Thank you again for all the feedback we got from very frustrated people around this region. And I understand the frustration. You have seen the trashing of this entire Puget Sound region. And as I said a couple of days ago, the pendulum has swung as far left as it's going to swing. And if we band together, we are going to pull it back sometime soon. I think that there is finally the will to get that done. Okay, before we get out of here, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Make this a Today's Sign triple shot. What does this say about our public schools? Do you know how few millennials know anything about the Holocaust? A brand new survey is just absolutely shocking. More than one-fifth of millennials in the United States, 22%, have not heard of the Holocaust. How can that be? How can you go through a school system and not have heard about the Holocaust? And the numbers get even scarier. 41% of millennials have no idea the scope of the Holocaust. 41% believe 2 million Jews or fewer were killed during the Holocaust. And the best historical number is that there were actually 6 million killed. So 2 out of 5 can't even come close on the scope and horror of the Holocaust. And then how about this? 2/3 of millennials could not identify in this survey what Auschwitz was. 2/3 have no idea what Auschwitz is. I mean, that is stunning. And it is a damning indictment of the public schools. It's also a reminder that if you're a product of the public schools, you have to keep reading and educating yourself and not just figure, I got a diploma, I'm good. Because these shocking numbers prove that the majority aren't good coming out of the schools. Today's sign story number two. State police have charged a former high school substitute math teacher with supervising a fight club during school hours. The substitute math teacher is 23 years old. He was charged yesterday on a warrant with 2 counts of risk of injury to a minor, breach of peace, 4 counts of reckless endangerment. According to the school resource officer, The principal at the school learned about the fights back in October. And the assistant principal told the principal they fired the substitute math teacher that day. But what he would do is he would get boys together at the school and he would just have them duke it out, a fight club. They would slap fight each other in the middle of this guy's math class. There were cell phone videos of one of the fights, which involved open hand strikes, full force. The teacher could be heard saying something to the effect of, "Move this way, move away from the door." Students were hooting and hollering. A math teacher. No wonder our kids don't know anything about the Holocaust or Auschwitz. I'm guessing the math students don't know anything about how to multiply or divide, since the 23-year-old substitute teacher was more interested in being cool, just being one of the guys. That is the problem. There are too many. You hear about all these stories of, you know, the hot 25-year-old female teacher who's sleeping with the boys at the high school. In this case, a 23-year-old math teacher has a fight club going in class. There are a lot of great teachers. But there are a lot of Peter Pan teachers, too. People who go into that profession because they don't want to ever grow up. They want to get summers off just like they did when they were kids. And they want to be friends with the students. They don't want to be leaders. They certainly don't want to be disciplinarians. They want to be friends and be cool and hip and relevant and in the case of too many of these teachers who's sleeping with the kids, they want to just still be sexy to the high school kids. And again, 4 out of 10 millennials don't know anything about the Holocaust. Great public schools. And then today's sign story number 3, a teenager went up to his 89-year-old neighbor and gave the neighbor a treat that this kid had made. That's nice, isn't it?
A West Ashley teenager, whom you see here, is in jail tonight, accused of giving his 89-year-old neighbor a brownie laced with a tranquilizer and then stealing from her while the elderly lady was out cold. 18-year-old Christian Jellicoe charged with abuse of a vulnerable adult and with larceny. He was arrested yesterday.
So he gives the 89-year-old a brownie, a little treat. But it was laced with a tranquilizer so he could rob that 89-year-old victim. 19-year-old little punk just wanted to get his neighbor high. According to the police report, while the victim was passed out, the suspect stole her television and also money from the victim's purse. When the victim woke up, she said she still felt drowsy. She attempted to get to a phone to call for help, but she was still feeling drowsy, and then she fell down in the floor. Her friend's son arrived at the house and helped her get medical attention. And that's when they did a toxicology report and found out that she had been drugged. And they traced it to the brownie that the neighbor punk made for her. He could go away for a long, long time. Abuse of a vulnerable adult in petty larceny has potentially really long jail sentences. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for this week. But the Ron and Don Show is coming up next. Thanks for everything you contributed to the show all week. Enjoy your weekend. I don't know.
gonna get high. What is up with you, Dory?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.